preached out of it, but it's been a blessing to me studying it. I hope it has been somewhat of an encouragement to you as God's child. Solomon, Song chapter 5, let's stand together as we read the first six verses of the chapter this morning. I'm come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink, yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. I've put off my coat, how shall I put it on? I've washed my feet, how shall I defile them? My beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. I rose to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege again to be in the house of God and for thy word this day. I pray that you would bless our hearts in it this morning. And Father, that you would grant by your eternal Spirit the power that I need to preach and the unction, the illumination, the enlightenment that I need this morning to say things, Lord, that will glorify thy Son and be a blessing to thy people and convict sinners of their way. I pray that you help us today, and God, that you'll strengthen the hearts of the believers and bless this body in Christ. May our souls be lifted up in prayerful and praiseful adoration of thee this day. As we meditate upon this text, we thank you for all that you do, for without you, nothing can be accomplished. Do give us grace and great wisdom now, clarity of thought in heart and mind. Help our bodies, Lord, to be able to deliver the message this morning, and may we, by God's grace, subdue the flesh, that it not hinder the preaching today, nor the service in any way. Give us grace now and help, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Look at verse number 6 in the text this morning, where that Solomon said, I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. I want you to notice the next statement, which is the response of the bride to his withdrawal and his absence. She said, my soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave no answer. My soul, she said, failed when he spake. I want to try, if God will help me this morning, to preach on this thought, disappointments at the door. I think I find in our text that the young lady was very, very disappointed in what she found awaiting her when the door opened. Let me ask you a hypothetical question this morning, if I may. Have you ever been disappointed in your expectations in life, or have you ever been disappointed in your attitude or your actions toward the Lord? She found herself standing at the door alone. And I'm afraid very disappointed. For she had expected upon opening that door to find her beloved right where she had heard the knock and the sound of his voice. But the Bible said that my beloved had withdrawn himself. Not only withdrawn,
But in fact, he was gone. It set her to looking for him. She sought in the immediate area but could not find him. And then she began to call. But the Bible said that he gave no answer. And I'm satisfied that by her soul failing her, that she was very, very disappointed in her own actions and activities, and disappointed in the fact that her beloved was gone. Have you ever been disappointed? Have you ever done all that you could do or done certain things only to become disappointed with yourself? Thinking, realizing that you could have done a better job, or there was something that you could have done that was left undone, and as you thought upon it and the way that it might have been, it greatly disappointed you. I know there's been times in my life that I have made certain decisions and became greatly disappointed in the outcome. And looking back, I suddenly realized if I'd only done it in a different way, the outcome would have been a great bit different, and it would have brought great blessing to my heart. Whereas instead of having blessing, I was living in sorrow and great disappointment because I'd failed to do what ought to be done for the glory and honor of God. And I'm sure you've been that way. She found some disappointments awaiting her at the door. Oh, she was well satisfied on the bed of ease while he stood at the door and knocked, and while she listened to the voice because he was nearby. But when she opened the door, she found him suddenly gone. The Bible said that her soul failed her, and she was greatly, greatly disappointed that she did not find her beloved standing at the door, eagerly waiting to receive her and embrace her to commune with her there in the bedchambers of her heart. Now, let me say by way of introduction that in this verse we find the fourth and the final effect of God's or Christ's efficacious grace upon His bride. If you notice, He had spoken to her and there was nothing happening. He knocked upon the door, and yet she failed to respond. But when he put his hand through the hole of the door, the Bible said that her bowels were moved within her. That is, that his grace had affected her in such a way that she had become stirred in her most inner being, down deep in her soul where only grace can reach. My friend, there are depths of a human heart that can only be reached by the grace of God. They cannot be reached by human affection. They cannot be penetrated by the words of mortal man. They can only be reached by the efficacious grace of Almighty God as He extends His hand of mercy and grace deep down into the dark recesses of our soul. Then and only then will sinner or saint alike be moved for the glory of God. Oh, I make big of the grace of God, for without it we will stay on our bed of lethargy and never be stirred into action and activity for the glory and the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. And when that hand of grace moved inside the realm of her heart, the Bible said that her soul, her spirit, her inner being, where nothing else could get to, was moved with compassion and love toward Him that had loved her and gave Himself earnestly upon the cross of Calvary that she might be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. She was moved. That's the first effect. And then the Bible said she rose to open to her beloved. That is, she repented. She repented of her lethargy and complacency. And she got up. I'm going to tell you, hey, if He ever stirs us, it'll stir us into action. Once she had been moved, she moved. Once her heart was moved, she moved. She was stirred and repented and moved into action and rose up from that bed to open the door to her beloved. And then thirdly, the third thing was that her hands and fingers dripped with sweet smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. Can you see her? Can you see her faith moved by His effectual grace reaching to the lock of unbelief upon her heart and grasping the handle and finding there great drops of myrrh? That is mercy and grace that were deposited there as handfuls of purpose by the heavenly bridegroom. Hey, He had been there on an intentional visit. I want to say that He never stumbles across a lost sinner. Neither does He ever stumble across the need of a saint. God is aware of your need this morning. And my friend, when He visits your heart, it's an intentional, deliberate movement of God. He is not there by accident. He's there by intent. And His intentions are to arouse you, to stir you, to bless you, and to help you in your place of need for the glory of Almighty God. And then we find the fourth and the final effect. She opened the door. Now that's faith. She opened that door. May I say that grace can serve you, but only faith will open the door. For by grace are you saved through faith. And by the way, that is the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man all rolled up in one thing. God in His sovereignty visited her in her condition and dropped handfuls of purpose on the handles of the lock. But by faith, my friend, she moved to open that lock. That is her heart of unbelief that she might receive the Lord Jesus Christ into her presence and experience His wonderful, wonderful heartfelt love. I'm glad, thank God, I can say I've experienced the love of God. My heart's been warmed. My soul's been blessed. My spirit's been stirred. Amen. I'm preserved. Oh, yes, and to the day of redemption, I have experienced the grace and the love of God down in my soul. Bless His wonderful name. And it's because one day He visited me where I was. Deposited grace where I was living. And by faith I took hold of the handles of the lock and opened the door to my beloved. Hallelujah. Somebody said, what would happen if a sinner don't open the door? He'll go to hell. He'll go to hell. Unless there is faith, my friend, he'll go to hell. And that is your responsibility. Somebody said, I don't believe that. Die and go to hell then. Huh? That's right. You know, I was reading the other night about what to preach at Brother Nolan's in Indiana. And I read again Hebrews 3 and 4 about the Israel when they came out of bondage. And talking about how God was grieved with them 40 years. And why they did not enter into the Canaan land rest. And Paul said in chapter 4, he said, was not the gospel preached to them as well as unto us? But it was not mixed with faith. I'm going to tell you something, friend. You can hear the gospel to your blue in the face. God can offer grace, my friend, until it's running off of you like honey out of a honeycomb. But until you exercise faith in the promises of God and the grace of God, it will absolutely benefit you nothing in your life. Yes, sir. I've been called a fatalist, but I'm far from that. Amen. Somebody said, don't you believe in the elect? Yes, sir. That's God's business, not mine. I certainly do believe in the elect of God. Amen to God. You ain't going to heaven without being elected. Period. Now somebody said, explain it. I can't explain all of it. Ain't that spiritual, but I believe it. Amen. Chosen in Him. Thanks be unto God. Now that faith. John Gill said, that faith is the eye, the ears, the mouth, and the hand of the soul. And he says that faith, eye, being open, sees the beauties and the glories of Christ's person. That's why she got up and opened that door. Did you know why I wrote this down in my Bible? faith can see things that cannot be touched. Yes, sir. She, by faith, my friend, saw the glory and the beauty of Christ yet being on the outside of the door. Wasn't able to touch Him, but by faith she could certainly see Him. But when she opened the door, she longed to touch Him, and because He wasn't there to touch, I'm satisfied. She was greatly disappointed in Him. Amen to God. That eye, that face eye sees the beauties and the glories of Christ's person and beholds the wondrous things in the gospel. Its ears being open to discipline listens to what the promises and the commandments of God. Its mouth being open praises Him for His glorious love. Hallelujah to God. Have you ever done that? Somebody said, not yet. It's high time. Praise God that you did. Thanks be unto God. If He's lifted you out of that sin and that pit that you're in, what's wrong with your mouth and your lips giving praise, my friend, to the Son of God that loved you and went to Calvary and paid it all that you might be saved? Somebody said, why are you praising Him? By faith. Amen. Everything we do is by faith. We worship by faith, praise by faith, live by faith, testify by faith, preach by faith, teach by faith. The just shall live by faith. Our whole life is around faith. The Son of faith will help you see some things you ain't touched yet. Amen to God. Make you want to touch Him. Amen to God when you want to touch Him. Somebody said, well, preacher, let's not get too fanatical. That little old woman with that issue of blood said, if I could just touch the hem of His garment, woo! If I could just touch one piece of His clothes, if I... Oh, yes! Said, if I could just touch Him, she said, I know I'd be made whole. Hallelujah to God. That faith sees what it can't touch, but it longs to touch what it sees. That's like laying a candy bar up on the shelf for a little old baby. And every time they walk by, they're looking at that candy bar. Good. You give me Kang Kang. Kang Kang. Boy, I see it, but I can't get to it, Pop. I see it. She said, Amen to God. She saw it by faith, but you couldn't get to it. But the hands, my friend, reach out and embrace the handle. By the hand of faith, it reaches out and embraces the object of her faith. And hey, amen to God, her hands dripping with myrrh and sweet-smelling myrrh. When she opened the door, reached to grasp that which she loved, but to her amazement and surprise, her beloved had withdrawn Himself and was gone. What about that now? I'm sure she was shocked. She was shocked. The Bible said her faith, her soul failed her. Kind of like the Queen of Sheba. When the Queen of Sheba saw everything that about Solomon and all of his glory and all of his pomp and beauty and how that he ascended up to the house of God. The Bible said there was no more spirit left within her. She was limp and she was lifeless. She was amazed. She was shocked. And this little bride, when she opened the door, she was amazed. She was shocked. She was surprised. Because He is gone, He wasn't there. She had just heard the voice a moment ago in the knocking on the door, but now He's withdrawn Himself and gone. And in her expectation, my friend, she is disappointed in what she finds awaiting at her at the door. How many of you women ever got puffed up in your little God-given hearts? Run in the bedroom and twisted the knob. Honey, let me in. Nope. Come on, honey, let me in. Nope. You've been mean to me. And it gets kind of silent. You know, girl, you get the feeling kind of sick in your heart for the way you've mistreated him. After all, he's been out all day working on a job to put meat in your belly. He's paying for the house you live in. He's buying your clothes and furniture. He's giving you an automobile and gasoline in it for you to drive. Everything you have come from, everything that you had come from Him. And when you, all of a sudden, the tears begin to run, you say, I believe I will open the door, and you open the door, but you're amazed. He done got fed up and is gone. And he might have went fishing, deer hunting or something, but he's gone. Now, I'm sure you Christ didn't go deer hunting and fishing, but he's gone.
Amen.
And she's disappointed when she come to the door and open the door. Her heart failed. Her soul failed. And she's disappointed in some things at the door.
Amen.
I want to say that, number one, she is disappointed in his sudden departure. Kind of like Samson. He wist not that the Spirit of God, that the Lord had departed from him.
Amen.
You imagine how disappointed that he must have been. She was disappointed. But I want to say this, that because he was gone, now don't nobody leave me. Hey, and I just learned this week. But his absence sometimes in our life, we are better off with him being gone than what we were with him standing at the door. I won't charge you nothing for that, neighbor. Let me run it by you again. There's times when we're better off in His absence than what we were when He stood at the door and knocked. I read this from Noah Webster's 1828. We are apt to complain of disappointments of our hopes and schemes, but disappointments often prove blessings and save us from calamity and ruin. And may I say that her disappointment here was her deliverer. It was her salvation. It delivered her from disappointments in her own life, my friend. Oh yes, she was better off with him being gone than what she was in his presence at the door. Somebody said, Preacher, how on heaven's name can that be? Her spiritual graces are now in exercise. Do you know where she was before he departed from the door? She is asleep on her bed. That's right. Extra had no grace in exercise, had no faith in exercise, had no duty in exercise. She wasn't believing Christ for nothing, wasn't living for God. She is on a bed of ease, on her stool of do-nothing. But I'm here to tell you, my friend, the minute that she opened that door, hallelujah to God, her thing picked up around her place. And when she found Christ gone, because it set her in search of her Lord. And I'm going to tell you right now, some of you wondering where he's at and what he's doing. Bless God, I'm telling you, get up off your bed and go out on a diligent search, and you will find that you're better off looking for him than you are laying on your bed to do nothing. Get in the Bible. Get in the worship. Get in the house of God and seek the Lord Jesus while he may be found. She's better off. She is better off in his absence than she was in his presence. Because she fell into spiritual lethargy and complacency. And now she's beginning to look for him. Now look here. And what it did, it increased her faith. You see, God wants to increase some of y'all's faith. Look what Paul said, and I'll just read this. You don't need to turn there. But Paul said in 2 Corinthians and chapter number 10 and verse 15, he said, not boasting of the things without our measure, that is of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased. Come on in the house, children. If I know anything about what a holy God is telling that little bride when he departed from her and she come to the door in disappointment that he was not there, he's saying, hey, you have come this far with me. Now get out of the bedroom and let's go a little bit further. I'm telling you, my friend, some of you in here today, I need to get out of the sand and get out in the water. Somebody said, Preacher, we'll tread it. No, you need to get in over your head where you got to trust God in your life just a little bit. He said, you've come this far. Her faith is being increased. You've come this far, he says. Come on more. Don't stop now. And she is better off with him gone, and her luck and her faith is being increased. She's better off that way than laying on her bed. Ain't that right? She seeks him.
Amen.
Bible said, I sought him. I sought him, but I could not find him. Now she's looking in her immediate area. Can you get a hold of this? She's just looking in what herself, where her and herself knows to look. That's all for us. Hey, when you're looking for something, you can't see any further than what your eyes can look. She's looking in her immediate surroundings. Where's he at? But now, wait a minute. That ain't enough. He's out of eyesight. And so she begins to call. She can't see him, but I'm going to tell you, she realizes that his ears hear better than what her eyes see, and she begins to call. And friend, if God seems far from you this morning, if you quit maybe looking and go to calling, He'll respond to your call and come to where you are by the grace of God. See, her faith is getting better. She seeks Him. She calls Him. Signifies greater faith. She is now depending more upon Him than upon herself. At first, when she was looking, she was depending totally on herself to find Him. Get a hold of this now. But when she calls, she's depending on Him to find her. Woo! That's good, for He come to seek and to save that which was lost. I believe she was crying in desperation, like blind Bartimaeus did. Oh, Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. I tell you, they said, hold your peace. But he cried the much more than so. Oh, Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And the Bible said, friend, that Jesus stood still. I'm here to tell you, when we look for Him on our own power, we'll fail. But if we'll call, now I'm not saying that He may not reveal Himself in you looking, but to increase your faith. If we'll call, then we're dependent on Him to find us. It's like that little old sheep out yonder on the mountains in the wilderness. He don't know where he's at. Can't find himself. Now, if he just stood there and looked around, he never would get anything done. Nobody could find him. But when you go to crying, whoo, hallelujah, I'm starting to feel good. Done when we begin to call. When we start to cry and begin to call, things pick up. Because I tell you, the dependence and the faith is no longer on us, my friend, but it's in trust that God Himself will come to our rescue and find us where we are. You might be in a place where you can't get to Him, but you'll never get in a place where He can't get to you. Woo! Yeah! There's valleys you can't cross and mountains you can't climb, but He'll make every valley, He'll make every mountain low, my friend, and exalt the valley, hallelujah, and make her level ground around you for to get to you where you are. And notice something else. She employs other people to assist her in her search. She called upon the watchmen of the city. She called upon the daughters of Jerusalem. Huh? She said there in verse 8, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved. My goodness, tell him that I'm sick of love. Everybody look right up here, I want to tell you something. You are going to encounter some battles in your Christian life you can't whoop on your own. You're going to need the help from somebody else. She said, in so many words, she told those daughters of Jerusalem, she said, I've looked and I can't find him. I've called and he won't answer. Will you please help me find him? Well, why? Because I'm sick of love. Praise God. Him knocking at the door and the mirror on the handle and the voice has stirred me up and my heart is in exercise and I'm sick of love for him.
Amen.
That's right. Her faith was being increased and her love was being inflamed. Her love was cold while she was inside that room. But the grace and him departing, his sudden departure, amen to God, no doubt that she is disappointed in, has inflamed her love, buddy. She's like the men on the road to Emmaus now. Did not our hearts burn within us while He talked to us? Hallelujah to God. That's what we need. Look here. Now get this now. And they didn't recognize the burning until He was gone. They wasn't talking and said, "Man, my heart's burning. How about yours?" No. When He was gone, one of them said, "Did not our hearts burn within us while He spoke?" After His departure. The flame of love. Oh, I'm telling you, she's better off now than she was. Praise God. Somebody said, "Now, preacher, but He's gone." Yeah, but He's not gone so far He can't be found. And He's not very far from each one of us. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. Hallelujah to God. Oh, yes. So I tell you what, John Gill said, there's one spot in your heart that's reserved for nobody but Him when He withdraws Himself to force you into seeking for Him. He's just got down there in a little room you ain't been into yet. Huh? Your heart's vast. It's bigger than you believe. And He's just withdrawn Himself down into one room of your house you didn't even know you had. Might be that banqueting house. Might be that room of great expectations and love. It may be that room where things pick up. Oh, I'm going to tell you, maybe in the secret place of the Most High, my friend. Or it may be where that hidden man is at. That if you look, you'll find, bless your heart. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Amen. Bless His wonderful name. Her hope was heightened. That's right. She had done found Him over yonder in chapter number 3. What? Hey, He said, "Find me once, find me again." She found Him a second time too. Them daughters of Jerusalem said, "Where do you think He's at?" She said, "He's down yonder amongst the lilies, a feeding." Woo! Hope! Hope! Son, I'm a hey. Without hope, and I'm talking about great hope, we're miserable creatures for Christ. But oh, if our hope, the faith is increased and our love is inflamed and our hope is heightened, my friend, in the blessings of God and the promises of God. Oh, think of what it'll do for us in our Christian life and Christian experience. And think of what it'll do for us in our communion and our fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I've got through the one point. Stay with me now. I said she was disappointed in His sudden departure. Come on in the house, children. I believe she was disappointed in her sinful disposition. Her attitude stunk. Sweetheart! Sweetheart, it's me! And my head's filled with the dew and my locks with the drops of the night. Sweetheart, it's me. I'm done. Took off my coat. How do you expect me to put it on? And I bathe my feet. Do you want me to defile them again? Beat it, bud. How many times has our attitude been sorry toward Jesus? Huh? Oh, she had a very sinful attitude, a very sinful disposition. I mean, she was pooge-mouthed. Amen. Are you listening? Somebody said, what about her attitude? I think her attitude in her delay in answering Him. Her delay in responding to Him. Amen. Sweetheart, I've got my coat off and my feet washed. I'm in the bed. I don't have time to get up. But when the hand of grace went in, the hand went on the handle of the lock. I believe her disposition was wrong in her delay in answering. I want to say this to you. You better listen to me carefully. Delay sometimes can destroy you. Amen. Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. As in the wilderness in the provocation. Now I'm here to tell you, my friend, I'm afraid some of you in here have heard His voice, and you've hardened your heart, and you lay it on the bed, and that delay somewhere is going to cost you some very precious hours of intimate fellowship with your heavenly bridegroom. Delay, my friend, in answering May I read what Brother James said? He said, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." Are you swift here? Somebody said, "Well, she heard him." No, she didn't. She was asleep, but her heart was awake. She heard him, but she didn't really hear him. And delayed her response. It delayed her answer to him. And I think she was great when she opened the door and she was gone. I'm sure the thought entertained her mind, "My God, if I'd opened just 5 seconds sooner, I'd have found him."
Amen.
I wonder how many times we've missed God by just that much. Huh? Just that much.
Amen.
I wonder how many preachers has missed God just for that much and greatly disappointed them. I know preachers that's went to churches and been there just a short while and a little fracas build up and they depart and go and head back to their home church and stuff. And it shows no stickability.
Amen.
They get back there thinking they've done the will of God and they sit down with their lower lip hanging down and realize, my friend, that they just missed God.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? Her delay, her attitude was wrong in her delay in answering him. I think her attitude was wrong in her duties toward him. What should she have been doing? What should you and I be doing today? Hey, God didn't call us to sit down on a stool 3 times a week and twiddle our thumbs. I found a pile of fingernails laying on the floor over here after our meeting. Somebody sat on that front row, looked like they'd cut toenails. Son, there were some laying over there that looked like an inch long. I vacuumed them up myself. I thought, my God, what would they do? Pull their socks off and trim their toenails? God have mercy. We come to church and sit and twiddle our thumbs and trim our fingernails and pick our nose, and that's about all we ever do for God. What about our duty? I'm sure when she opened the door and saw him gone, she thought, my God, have I sinned away my day of grace? Have I sinned away my opportunity? Oh, my privileges for Christ. Down the drain, will I ever find him again? Will he ever offer me that opportunity again? I'm going to tell you something, friend. We better seize opportunities to serve God. Anyway, anytime we can. Now, what about her duties in the field? Sowing seeds of kindness. Sowing in the noontime and the dewy eve. Apparently, he had been out in the dewy eve because he had dew on his locks and the drops of the night. The dew on his hair and the drops of the night upon his locks. Apparently, he had been out in the late hours sowing little seeds of kindness. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him.
Amen.
What have we really done in the field? I tell you, I heard Brother Jones sitting in my house and talking about being with Wings for Christ and flying to those islands down off Central America, off the coast of Central America, and finding people that had never heard the gospel, never heard the name of Christ, and some of them that had, but yet had no missionary there, no Bible there, no preaching there. And I'm telling you, friend, my heart was stirred within me. I really wonder what on God's name we're doing out in the field if we're not negligent in our duties and responsibilities to God out yonder in the field. What about her duties and fellowship? She could have been in fellowship, but there she is. I'm sure when she opened the door, she said, "Oh, my attitude, if it hadn't been for my stinking, critical, sorry attitude, my lazy spirit, I could have been with him now. But here I am yet alone out in the highway looking for him, trying to find him. I could have been in fellowship with him."
Amen.
Have you ever got up in the morning and piddled the day away and never met with Jesus? Remember Brother Billy Ball preaching? The room.
Right.
Go to your room.
Amen.
That ever got a hold of you? Have you ever just piddled a day away and laid down in your bed at night and be so disappointed? I didn't even pray today. I've not read one chapter in my Bible. I've told no one about Christ. I've spent no time with Him at all.
Amen.
And you were so disappointed in your accomplishments for the day. You ever been disappointed in other accomplishments around the house, around the home, in your community, around the church, that you mind? Your conscience just torments you because you just ain't really got it all together. Are you listening this morning? What about her duties in the family? Did you know as a church member we've got responsibilities to this family and the house of God? Some of you mamas, you ever been disappointed in your responsibilities to your family? Feel like a failure? What about some of you men? You ever feel like a failure? Brother Steve got up here this morning. I don't know if he even heard me or not, but he said, I feel something to the effect I feel like a failure in preparation for what I've got this morning. I said, good. Amen. That's a step forward. I'm telling you, friend, our feeling of failure and inability will cause us to open the door. It'll cause us to get up and do something about the condition we're in.
Amen.
My God, may God help us to get up this morning.
Amen.
While souls are going to hell and the Savior awaits our fellowship and friendship. And we lay on the bed inside the door. Stand up, get up, rise up.
Amen.
Open the door, for our salvation is nearer than when we believe.
Amen.
The day is far spent, my friend. It's time to arouse ourselves and get up. Her delay in answering him, her attitude was bad there, and her duties toward him, her attitude was bad there. She's disappointed there. She's disappointed in the darkness about her. Can you imagine how it would feel to be in the presence of Christ and Him gone? What would that do to your attitude? It'll devastate you, friend.
Amen.
Now the third point, and I'm done. I believe she is disappointed in her selfish disrespect. Look here. Open to me, my spouse, my beloved, my love, my undefiled. Why? I've got my coat off and my feet washed. Why? He said, for. That word for means because. For. Open unto me. Well, why? My head is filled with dew and my locks with the drops. Get this now. With the drops of the night. That tells me, Brother Wayne, that he had journeyed all night long just to get to where she was. I started to put that she despised the sacrifice that he had made. The fact that he had his locks was wet with the dew and the drops of the night signifies that he had journeyed in the night season, that he had come through the darkness.
Amen.
To get to her. And she was so selfish,
right,
and disrespectful to the sacrifice that he had made in getting her. Has it ever occurred to you, church, the darkness that he traveled through to get to where you were?
Amen.
Amen.
Somebody said, what darkness? You were in darkness.
Amen.
You lived in darkness.
Amen.
And he journeyed through the night season of your life into the darkness where you were and knocked on your door, and bless our hearts, God help us to respect the sacrifice that He made that He might come to where we were.
Amen.
He journeyed through the night. She was so selfish. She didn't respect the journey made through the night, nor the price that He had paid just to be with her. The price He paid just simply to be with her. Apparently, He had been out. He had not rested all night long. You know, when I said this, the thought that came to my mind. The Son of Man hath not where to lay His head. Signifies that somebody said, well, He just didn't have a place to sleep. Oh, yeah, but it's much deeper than that. Did you know that Boaz is a type of Christ?
Amen.
Everybody listen now, I'm just talking, but you get, you know that Boaz is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ? And when little old Ruth had made her way, dug down to that threshing floor, and he covered her with his skirt, and she got up the next morning, carried that barley or rye, whatever it was, back to Naomi. You know what Naomi told her? Said, "You just stand by, for he will not rest until the thing is settled."
Amen.
You know what that tells me? Him traveling through the night. Bless his heart. For the years of mankind on this earth, the eternal Son of God, the Lord Jesus, had no rest, day nor night, and will have no rest until he leads this, till he leads this little old remnant, friend, this little blood-bought crowd. While we're at rest, he comes to give us rest, but he finds no rest until himself. Will you let me in, sweetheart? Why? I ain't been in bed all night long. My body's worn. I'm tired. I've labored. Well, what have you been doing? Just fighting the mess to get to where you are? You realize, honey, I fought hell all night. Down yonder, just a little ways, coming up the road to meet you, I run into the devil himself, and I fought with him for 40 days and 40 nights in the valley of temptation, despondency, and despair. But by the word of God, I have prevailed, and I've overcome him, my friend, for you. And I no sooner passed by the devil himself until I encountered that horrible pit, that ravine, that abyss that they call hell. And I'm sure he may have told her that I have fought hell and death that I might get to where you are. Let me in. And when she refused, she just was so selfish and disrespectful of his labors. And honey, as I was knocking on your door, the last enemy to be destroyed, as I knocked on your door and spoke and placed my hand of grace inside the hole of the door, as I placed my hand in the door, death and I went toe to toe and head to head in one of the most awesome battles that's ever been fought. But thanks be unto God, yonder on Mount Calvary, I tasted death for every man and overcome death, hell, and the grave. And I've got victory and healing in my heart for you. Will you open to me? He had deserted all of his own comforts just to be with her. Forsook them all.
Amen.
Just to be with her. Disappointment's at the door.
Amen.
We can immediately arise and open at the voice if we want. And find him there. How about you this morning? As a sinner, have you ever opened your heart to Him? And as a child of God, would you open your heart for the fellowship? I opened the door to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. And my soul failed when he spake. Apparently, he was saying something to her as he was withdrawing himself. It's not recorded in that book. Something so wonderful and intimate and sweet. God said, "We'll not even record that, Solomon." How about it today? Would you open the door and let the King of Glory into your heart chamber? Let's stand together.